Well, good morning. If you would open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16 is where our lesson will be from this morning. Before we begin, let's bow before our Lord in prayer. Our Father, we bow in thy holy presence this morning, daring only come into your thrice holy presence in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, pleading his obedience as our only righteousness, pleading his blood as the only cleansing and payment that we have for our sin, pleading him as our everything. And Father, how we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. How we thank you for his fullness and his richness that enables him to be all things to all of his people. Father, we thank you. And I pray this morning that the name of Christ our Savior be exalted and magnified, that his person, his name be glorified, that thy people might behold him in awe and wonder and believe him and cling to him and worship him and him alone. Father, bless your word as it's preached. We cling to your promise. You said your word would not return unto you void. It will accomplish the purpose whereunto you sent it. And Father, we pray that your purpose today would be a purpose of mercy and grace, that you'd bless your people through your word. Father, we pray that you'd be with our children's classes, that you'd be with our teachers and our children both in a special way, that today and in each Sunday, week after week after week, that you'd use this teaching to plant the seeds of faith in their hearts, to enable them to see and believe our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, for those who are sick and hurting and afflicted, we pray for them. We pray you'd meet their need, that you'd heal, that you'd lead, and that you'd guide. We're thankful for some good reports we've had, and Father, we pray you continue to bless your people. All these things we ask in that name which is above every name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I've titled our lesson this morning, To Those Seeking Evidence. Verse 1 of chapter 16 of Matthew says, The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. Now the Pharisees and the Sadducees, their doctrine is different as the two poles, but yet they're joined together in this. They came to our Lord asking to see a sign from heaven so that he would prove to them that he is the Messiah, the promised Messiah, the Son of God. And fallen man has always wanted that. Fallen man has always wanted a sign from God, physical evidence that God is. If we would see that evidence, something we could see and touch and feel and smell, then we would believe that God, we would believe that God is, we believe his word. And I'll tell you why fallen man wants that kind of evidence. It's because fallen man, by nature, has no faith. Has no faith in Christ. Has no belief in God. Faith is a spiritual thing. It doesn't come naturally. It's a spiritual thing. It's based on spiritual truths. It's based upon the Word of God. Not based on anything that we can see or feel or touch. Otherwise, faith wouldn't be faith. If you believe God because it's something you could touch and feel and see, you wouldn't need faith, would you? No, faith is the way that we believe God. Look in with me at Luke chapter 16. You know, the rich man, you know this story, the rich man in hell wanted the Lord to send Lazarus back from the dead to his family because he thought if his family would see a miracle, if his family saw this one raised from the dead who would tell them about the afterlife, that this rich man's family would believe God and they would not come to this horrible place in hell where this man is. But you know, that wouldn't have worked. Look here at Luke 16, verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, oh, then they would repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses, and the prophets, they do not hear and believe the written word of God, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. See, seeing a miracle, it wouldn't have worked, would it? Because faith is a spiritual gift. It's a spiritual gift from God based upon the Word of God, not something that the natural mind can see and understand. Now, God did give signs and evidences. In the Old Testament, He did that, and also to the New Testament church. He gave these abilities to work miracles and these signs and evidences, not to amaze people, not like it's a party trick, but so that when someone would perform this miracle, people would know this man sent from God. Nobody could do this unless God was with him, and so they listened to him preach. But those evidences were given to men, they're given to the church, before the Word of God, the written Word, was completed. Now, the written Word of God is completed. He doesn't give those kinds of miracles and evidences anymore because we have the Word of God. Our faith is solely based upon the Word of God. And if you want to know if a man's preaching the truth, check him against the Word of God. Is what he's saying match the whole Word of God? If it is, that's your evidence that this man's sent from God. He's preaching the gospel. And that's all believers need. A believer, all they need is the Word of God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. All they need is the Word of God. Believers believe because that's their nature. It's a nature of faith that God gave them. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 22. Paul here has been speaking about these gifts that were given to the early church. And specifically, he's talking about the gift of speaking in tongues. In verse 22, he says, "Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe." Those that believe, they don't need this sign. Tongues are for a sign to them that believe not. But prophesying, preaching, serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. See, believers don't need any signs or miracles in order to believe God. They just believe. Because that's the nature that God gave them. And they believe the written Word of God. They believe it when they hear it preached. They just believe the Word of God. Whatever it says, that's what they believe. I like what Brother Don Bell says. He said, "I believe Jonah swallowed the whale." That's what the Word said. We would just believe it, wouldn't we? Now, saving faith is based upon the Word of God alone. One more scripture in here, John chapter 2. Anything else that's not based solely upon the Word of God, solely based upon the written Word, Christ the living Word, anything else is not saving faith. John chapter 2, verse 23. "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Our Lord did not commit himself to these people, because he knew their faith, what they believed, was based upon what they could see, what they could touch, the physical evidences. It was based on seeing the miracles, not believing him, not believing the Word of God alone, so he did not commit himself unto them." Now these Pharisees and Sadducees back in our text, they came to the Lord seeking the same thing. They wanted these miracles to see them in order that they might believe. And they said, "If we see a miracle, we'll believe you." They wanted to see signs and wonders. Let me give you three lessons in this text that the Lord teaches us here about to those who are seeking signs. Number one is this. I want us to see the description of those seeking signs and wonders. Number one is this. Those seeking signs and wonders, they're religious hypocrites. That's exactly what they are. Verse 1 says they came tempting, desiring him that he would show them a sign. They came tempting the Lord. They did not come to Christ truly seeking to know him. They did not come to Christ seeking to believe him. What they were doing is trying to find a way to discredit the Lord. They're tempting him. And if they could discredit him, then they could get so many people who were following the Lord, not them. They wanted to stop that flow. You know, they wanted to reverse it back the other way. More people would follow them instead of following Christ. That was their goal in tempting the Lord. If they came to Christ and their heart's desire was to know him, they would have. He would have revealed himself to them. You can't find an example in Scripture where somebody came to our Lord seeking to know him that didn't. These men, they left the presence of the Lord. The Lord actually left their presence, and they didn't know him when he left, because that wasn't their heart's desire. They're religious hypocrites. They were just pretending to seek the Lord. And what they're really doing is seeking to justify their unbelief instead of seeking forgiveness, instead of seeking righteousness in Christ. They rationalize this in their mind, that if the Lord Jesus did not perform a miracle for them, well, that would prove I don't have to believe. But what if he had performed a miracle? What if he had? They still wouldn't have believed him, because they're tempting him. They're not there seeking to know him. They would have found some false excuse to discredit the miracle, just like they did in other places. They couldn't deny the miracle, so they said, oh, well, this miracle was performed by the power of the devil, not by the power of God. They never would have believed it. They're seeking to justify themselves. And they're just religious hypocrites. They wrap themselves in religion like they're the most devout of everybody you know. They're the deepest thinkers. They live on a higher spiritual plane because they just spend more time on their religion than anybody else. But if they were truly religious, you know, true religion is knowing God. It's knowing Christ. If they're truly religious, if they were true believers seeking to know God, and if they'd had faith, they wouldn't need to see any miracles. They just believed. That dying thief never saw a miracle, did he? But he believed. He didn't have to see a miracle in order to believe. The Holy Spirit gave him faith. If they had true religion and true faith in the heart, the only thing they would have needed was to hear our Lord preach and teach. If they had just sat still and listened to him teach, they would have known him. But they didn't. I mean, you think about this. In our study here through Matthew, all the miracles. Think of all the miracles that we've read about. How many more miracles did they need to see? They weren't seeking to know Christ. They were not looking for a reason to believe him. They were looking for a reason not to believe him and justify themselves and their rebellion and their unbelief. Oh, but they looked religious, didn't they? Religious hypocrites. And people today do the same thing. People today seek miracles, partly for this reason, so they don't have to believe on the sovereign God. So they don't have to bow to Christ, the sovereign Savior. They're looking for a reason. They're looking for evidence to trust in something other than Christ alone. But now they're religious. Oh, my goodness, they're religious. But they're religious hypocrites, just like these Pharisees and Sadducees. All right, number two, this is a description of those people who are seeking signs and miracles. You know why they're seeking that? They're seeking to see miracles and things they can touch and see with the natural flesh? Because they're spiritually blind. Look at verse 2. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say it'll be fair weather, for the sky is red. And the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? Now, the problem with people not believing Christ is it's not that people are not intelligent. Human beings, even fallen man, is highly intelligent, very intelligent. They don't believe, not believe the gospel because they're not intelligent. They don't not believe the gospel because they can't figure things out. People are very intelligent in natural things. And the advancements in science and medicine just in the past 100 years is staggering. I mean, it's just staggering what men can do, what men have figured out. But God can't be figured out, not with the natural mind. God can't be seen with natural eyes or the natural understanding. Men, it's true, men can predict the weather by looking at the skies. But man can't know God by looking at the skies, by looking at the things that are made. Man can figure out complicated math. I mean, the math that people do is just astounding. They could send a man to the moon and back. But man cannot figure out. They can't calculate this. How can a payment be made? How can a payment for sin be made that's enough to put it away? They can't figure out how can God save sinners and take them to glory. Man can't figure that out, as smart as he is. So every religious theory that men come up with about salvation and sin, about righteousness and peace, about grace and justice, mercy and love, every theory that men come up with like that, it's always wrong. Always. Because it's built on a bad foundation. It's built on human intellect, not the Word of God. If we're going to know Christ, Christ must be revealed to the heart supernaturally. by God the Holy Spirit. That's what our Lord told Nicodemus when they were talking. He said, Nicodemus, nobody can see. Nobody can understand. Nobody can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born again. He can't see unless God gives him new eyes of faith. He can't understand unless God gives him a new mind, the mind of Christ in the new birth. That's the only way we can see or understand or enter the kingdom of God. Now, I have to deal with this for just a minute when the Lord says, but can you not discern the signs of the times? You know, when the Lord talks about the signs of the times, he doesn't mean like, well, there's different signs of the times, you know, in every era. And at this point in human history, he doesn't mean that men could somehow study the signs of the time and figure out and know when it is that Christ will return. A lot of people take these signs of the times and are trying to figure out when Christ will return. That's an exercise in futility. Scripture tells us plainly, nobody knows when Christ is going to return. Nobody can figure it out. So when the Lord talks about the signs of the times, he talks about the signs of the times in which he was speaking. The signs of the time that when he was on the earth performing these miracles, fulfilling every prophecy of the Old Testament scriptures concerning the Messiah. He was fulfilling them all. They were asking to see a miracle, but he'd already performed hundreds and hundreds of miracles. Fulfilling the Old Testament prophecies of the Messiah. The Old Testament tells us somebody's coming, and the Old Testament gives us a description of the one who's coming, so that you'll know him when you see him. And the Lord said, can't you see? I'm fulfilling all these things. That's what he's saying. But they couldn't see, could they? Why couldn't they see? You read about these things, you see, you believe. Why? Because God's given you faith. They couldn't see it because they're blind. And I tell you what, one reason that they're blind is they refused to see. Nobody is so blind as the person that refuses to see. They had the gospel preached to them. They have the gospel of Christ laid out before them. And they will not believe. They refuse to. These hypocrites, they couldn't see because they were born blind, just like all of us. None of us could see. You know, we couldn't see. We couldn't understand. We couldn't believe Christ. We're born blind. But these were also blind because they refused to see. They refused to bow to Christ. They refused to believe on him. They're blind. All right, here's the third thing. The description of those seeking signs and miracles. They are wicked. They're wicked. Oh, they're very religious, but they're wicked and they're adulterous. Verse 4. Our Lord says, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. Now, all religion, I try to warn you about this, all religion is not good. Just because somebody is religious, they act moral, they use religious terms, they use terms from the scriptures, doesn't mean that their religion is good. Does not mean that they know God. All religion is not good. It's wicked. Is that too hard? That's what our Lord called it. Wicked. He called it wicked. They're wicked in their religion because it's religion without Christ. Without Christ alone. Oh, they use the name Jesus. They use the name Christ. But it's religion without Christ alone. It's religion without faith in Christ. It always involves works. And the Lord calls them wicked and he calls them adulterous. Now, you, physically speaking, you know what adultery is. A spouse committing adultery is seeking pleasure. They're seeking comfort outside of the marriage union. And they always have an excuse for what they're doing. Well, the same thing is true religiously. A religious adulterer is seeking pleasure and comfort outside of the union with Christ alone. That's what they're doing. They're seeking it in their morality or their works or something other than union with Christ alone. And they always have an excuse for what they're doing. It's an excuse. It's a doctrine made up from their mind, not taken from the Word of God. And these men were adulterous. They thought if the Lord Jesus did not perform a miracle for them, it justified them in their unbelief. It justified them to continue on in that Jewish religion that sought righteousness in their works, following the ceremonies, following the calendar, doing everything you're supposed to do, you know, dawn each day. And by your works, you make yourself righteous and God will accept you. That's adulterous. It's adulterous because it leaves Christ the bridegroom out of the equation. seeking pleasure, seeking salvation, seeking comfort somewhere other than the bridegroom alone. And nothing can be more wicked than that. Nothing. I don't care how you wrap it. I don't care what kind of pretty package you put it in. It's wicked and it's adulterous. And we ought to stay away from it. All right, here's the second lesson. There is a sign God gives every believer. Look at verse 4 again. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. Now a sign shall be given to all men. A sign shall be given that all men should repent of their sin. They should turn from their man-made religion and they should turn to Christ. They should trust Him. They should believe Him. They should trust Him. They should cling to Him as their all. That's what you hear in the preaching of the gospel, in the preaching of Christ. That preaching is the one and only sign. It's the only miracle. It's the only evidence that God gives. And that's what the Lord means here when He talks about the sign of the prophet Jonah. He's talking about the preaching of the gospel. What if we could perform a miracle? What if we could lay our hands on somebody and heal them of some disease, you know? I got a bad back. What if you could lay your hands on me and heal me, you know, of my bad back? That'd be miraculous. So far, nobody has figured out how to do it. That'd be miraculous. Let me tell you a greater miracle. A man in the flesh stands in front of you, opens the Word of God and preaches from it, and you believe it. That's a greater miracle. I'd far rather have that, wouldn't you? That's a greater miracle. Look at Matthew chapter 12. This is what the Lord is talking about when he said about the sign of the prophet Jonah. The story of Jonah and the whale is not just a story to tickle our fancy. It's a picture of Christ that tells us how it is God saves people from their sin. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. And certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah, and this is what the Lord's telling us, wicked and adulterous generation seeking a sign. Nineveh is going to rise up in judgment against you because one greater than Jonah is here. You won't repent. You won't believe. Now, this is the picture that the Lord lays out here for us. 3 days and 3 nights. The Lord Jesus Christ died as a substitute for His people. And by the blood of His death, by the blood of His sacrifice, He put away all of the sin of all of His people, and He actually died. They took a physically dead body down from the cross and laid him in a rich man's tomb, and he stayed there for 3 days. Just like Jonah stayed 3 days in the deep, 3 days in that whale's belly, and after 3 days, that fish vomited Jonah out on the ground. But after 3 days, our Lord arose victorious over death, over the tomb, over sin, over hell. He arose victorious, and his resurrection is the proof his death, his blood, justified God's people from all of their sin. Death could not hold him. You know why? All that sin charged to him was gone. That's why he arose from the dead. And that's the picture of Jonah. When that fish vomited him out on the ground, he stayed there 3 days as a picture of Christ. He would die, be in the tomb 3 days, and arise victorious. And absolutely everybody who trusts Christ is justified from all of their sin. If they're justified by the doing and dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what Jonah declared from the belly of the fish. This is the message of the gospel. Salvation's of the Lord. That's the only evidence we'll be given. The preaching of that message, salvation, is of the Lord. Now here's your sign. It's the preaching of Christ. And everybody that believes Him will be saved. Now these men, they refused to believe on Christ. They refused to trust Him and in His alone, Him alone. because their nature is so dead and so wicked. And that's true, but that's not the main point I want you and me to take from that. We have the same nature. We have the same dead, hateful nature. Our nature is so dead. It's so filled with self-righteousness. It's so tied to self-righteousness. Even you and I here in this modern era where, you know, we're so civilized and so religious, will sit here in these chairs and miss Christ and refuse to bow to Him and not believe Him unless the Holy Spirit intervenes and gives us life and faith to believe Christ. And thankfully, that's what God's doing right now. He's not wrapped this thing up yet. You know why? He's still got more people He's going to call. There's more people for whom Christ died that He's going to call to Himself, and He's going to do it. Nobody can stop Him from calling them. Nobody's going to stop those people from coming to Christ and believing on Him. You know why? Because salvation's of the Lord. This world has just gone off its rocker, and I'm convinced it's just going to go further and further and further and further off its rocker. Hard telling where it's going to end. But I tell you what, I don't worry about that one iota. I don't care what they're doing. I don't care what this world's doing. God's going to call His people. And they're going to be saved. They're going to come to Christ because salvation is of the Lord. And you know how He tells them about it? You know how He lets them in on the fact that Christ has died for them, that Christ has justified them? You know how He lets them in on and gives them faith to believe Christ? It's through this sign, the preaching of Christ. God still must not be done with the tri-state area. Because the gospel's still being preached. He's still calling out His people. And that encourages me, doesn't you? I hope it does. All right, here's the third lesson. The third lesson is a solemn warning. A solemn warning about seeking signs and wonders. A solemn warning about wanting or seeking anything spiritually other than Christ alone. The Lord left these men in their false religion because they refused to bow. They refuse to believe on Him. As I've said this so many times, it's very frightening to me to see how often the Lord gives people exactly what they want. They don't want to believe on Him. So He left. All right, fine. And He left them alone. Now look at verse 5. When His disciples were come to the other side, now they had seen all this happen, and they had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed, and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Two wildly different doctrines, two wildly different preaching. He said, you beware both of them. Because the nuts and bolts of them both are the same. It's works. It's self-righteousness. You beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it's because we've taken no bread. Which, when Jesus perceived, He said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves? Because you brought no bread. Do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? Why don't you understand that? Then understood they how that He bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Now, our Lord warned His disciples. He's warning people. He's warning all of His people. You beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And the disciples thought the Lord was talking about physical things. Physical bread for them to eat. Leaven that you would use to make that unleavened bread rise. And we think, how could they think that? We ought to know exactly how they think that. When we're in this flesh that is so tied to this world, so tied to the physical, material things around us, we're so tied to it that often we can't think beyond physical things, physical, material blessings. But even though they were thinking wrong, our Lord still talked to him. And He asked, what are you worried about physical bread for? Don't you remember the miracle of the 5,000? Feeding the 5,000, feeding the 4,000? Haven't I yet showed you? I'll provide. I'll provide for you. It occurred to me how often we have to learn the same lesson over and over and over and over again. And we, next time this very same situation comes up, we get so worried and just so, we just fret so much. Haven't we yet understood the Lord will provide? Have we yet understood that? And then they understood that the Lord was warning them about false doctrine, about spiritual bread, not physical bread. The Lord warns them, you beware of this leaven, just a little bit of leaven, just a little bit of false doctrine put in your preaching will eventually poison the whole lump and will be left with no truth at all. And I say this to Hurricane Road Grace Church, don't you think that can't happen to us. Don't you for a minute think that can't happen here, because it can. Our Lord here was speaking to and warning 11 future apostles. If they needed to be warned, I guarantee you, we do. We just can't get like this world so liberal and so nice that we tolerate men's works and man's ideas on religion for a single second. Our faith, our conduct, our preaching must be based solely upon the Word of God. The disciples at first, once our Lord warned them about this, they arrived at the wrong conclusion because they reasoned among themselves. They reasoned, you know, what could he be talking about in their own human intellect? And we can't allow that to happen. We can't allow human reasoning to direct our gospel, to direct what we believe. We can't allow human reasoning to make us add anything to God's gospel or take anything away from God's gospel. If we do, we fill the whole lump with leaven. And you know in Scripture, leaven is a picture of sin. If we back off an inch, if we back off a centimeter, the whole lump's ruined. One work that we rely on, just one, ruins the whole gospel, makes us debtors to do the whole law of God. Saving faith can only be found in the pure Word of God. Pure Christ, purely believing Him and nothing else. So this warning to us is to keep preaching only Christ. To keep believing only Christ. And here's a real good segue into the message in a few moments. Keep believing Him. And hang on to it. Hang on to it. This is the dearest treasure God's given us. Hang on to it. All right, God bless you.